these ideas.
The latent potential of the human soul. It is latent, but it is also already present. It's like a seed. The seed contains the whole tree, as it were. It's all in there, but it needs light, it needs water, it needs nurturing. The latent potential is the gradual awakening of divine consciousness. This divine consciousness is already ours. That was impressed upon us in the early period of humanity, when those great king initiates, the Hierophants, instructed us in all the arts and sciences, and we were given, in a sense, but then we were instructed, well, they left because, in a sense, they're like planters. They sowed the seeds, but they left the seed for us to till the soil. Now, this divine consciousness is already present within us. It's something that is unfolding. And how does it unfold? It unfolds through ethical living, self-knowledge, and altruistic service until the individual becomes a conscious participant in human life, and rather in universal life. Because we are not only here for ourselves, we're here for each and all of the kingdoms. There's this guru parampara chain, which includes all those great beings that have transcended the human form and all those lower life forms who have all these latent potentials within them as well, but they are not manifest. So these powers and faculties are already present in the human constitution. But they're dormant. And why are they dormant? They're due to karmic conditions and misidentification with the lower self. So the karmic conditions are those we set up, and we really don't know anything about the doom chain except that that was our prior earth. There is a little in the philosophy, but very little is given out. However, we created karma there, and we also created karma by failing to incarnate into the forms until they were defiled. But that's a topic for another time. So, also, we have great karma, a great debt during the Atlantean period when, the powers of light and darkness battled, and a few remnants of humanity managed to escape before the great island sunk about 1 million years ago, the great continent of Atlantis. And there were remnants throughout the world, scattered around the world. And we see this in the in signs and symbols all over the world, sacred symbols. So we misidentified. In Atlantis, we really worshiped our bodies and our powers and our intellect. And intellect on its own is cold, hard, impersonal, and always tends downward without the heart quality. So theosophy is all about developing that heart quality, that buddhi part of our nature. The buddhi is the storehouse of spiritual soul. It is spiritual soul. It is wisdom. It looks directly upon ideas. It knows. It doesn't have to reason from premises to conclusions. It is universal. So These powers and faculties being already present in the human constitution, they're dormant. And another reason they're dormant is because we over-identified with our lower selves, our kamic nature, the desire nature, specifically the lower passions and desires, those for earthly power, position, wealth, and whatnot. So the human being is a god in the making, nascent. The potentiality is unlimited because there is no stoppage in evolution. There is no stoppage whatsoever. The human being a god in the making, with divine powers that are folded within the consciousness. And this is like the seed. And theosophy is here to plant seed ideas of altruism, of kindness, of compassion, of caring, of fairness, and wisdom. So latent potential also refers primarily to the awakening of higher manas through Buddhi, leading to conscious unity with Atma. And Atma is that part. Atma is one, and it is actually metaphysical and metaspiritual. And all we can really say about it is that it is. But it is the basis and the substratum of all. The highest that we can access, it is in truth, it is no human principle, but it is a universal principle belonging to no kingdom. So this latent potential refers primarily to the awakening of higher manas through Buddhi, and that's the spiritual storehouse of all knowledge. Buddhi looks directly upon ideas. So these latent divine powers are evolutionary. They're not miraculous. There's no such thing as a miracle. Miracles are often, they're unknown laws that we do not understand because we do not understand karma. We understand it in a general way, but we do not understand all the dark intricacies of karma, which means literally action. It's action and reaction. So these latent powers are awakened through daily life by being involved, by not fearing to plunge into the stream, instead of just resting our weary limbs by the side of the stream. We need to plunge into the stream, meaning the stream of life. And we are compelled to do that, which we may not want to do, but circumstances arise that compel us. Now, there's different reasons why spiritual power remains dormant. And we've touched on some already. Identification with the personality, the lower personal self, the I, me, my, the false ego, desire-driven consciousness, which is the kamma, which we already spoke about. Something that's also interesting to think about is fragmented attention. We are encouraged to meditate, concentrate, do every act mindfully, as if it's the only thing to be done. And of course, nowadays everything is vying for our attention. And that's part of the Kali Yuga age, where everything is topsy-turvy, it's upside down, priorities are not what they should be. And so fragmented attention, which is the antidote to that, is meditation, concentration, study, work, and just doing what we can. Self-centered motivation. So, we live in a highly competitive society, but it's hard not to have some self-centered motivation, certainly. But we should ideally be working for the self of all. And also, there's a premature pursuit of psychic phenomena. So, throughout the philosophy, we are warned that this latent human potential, which is to be perfect, which is to be a race of gods and this race of adepts in the seventh root race of the seventh round, to have learned all the lessons and to eventually transcend this earth. But that is many, many, many eons away. But premature pursuit of psychic phenomenon would be, that would be hatha yoga as well, which is a concentration on breath and bodily powers. And we're warned that hatha yoga is dangerous. Theosophy is Raja Yoga, the kingly yoga. So, latent potential is developed not by techniques alone, but by inner transformation. And ethical living, altruism, meditation grounded in motives, study that changes conduct, and self-forgetfulness. And examples of latent potential of the soul are moral choice, self-awareness, discrimination, abstract thought, intuition, ethical insight, compassion, unity, consciousness, wisdom, divine will, universality, and immortality. So when we're talking about the latent potential of human soul, that's to make theosophy a living power, to make it a living power as we go forth, so that we're always looking to help, always a kind word, a smile, reassurance. There are many people who are really lost souls. We're told that in the city we meet lost souls and even soulless individuals that have completely lost their way. But evolution will not abandon them, even if they drop out of one period of evolution. There's always the chance for another. So when we're talking about latent powers, we could be talking about clairaudience and clairvoyance and things like that, but these are to be used in the service of others, not just for our own personal powers, to gain knowledge, to learn something, to use it to our advantage in a materialistic way, because that is black magic, and that ends up in an absolute dorm. The voice of the silence says, before the soul can see, the harmony within must be attained, and fleshly eyes be rendered blind to all illusion. The seeing referred to as here is that of the soul. It is the same as understanding or perceiving an idea. When we say, I see, the soul's eye can see only if there is harmony within. To see things as they are, it is necessary to attain eternal harmony by bringing the lower mind in harmony with the higher mind. The lower manas synthesizes, and so we the lower manas is very necessary. Every principle is necessary. Spirit and matter are one. Matter is just very dense spirit, and spirit is very ethereal matter, as it were. There's gradations of all the principles, and every principle is necessary and not to be rejected, and not to say, well, I'm rising above this, because we need to use the lower manas. The lower manas synthesizes and transforms ideas. Our perception is affected by our conceptions and imperfections of the instruments that bring the data, and hence we do not see the thing in itself. So we see, as it were, well, our senses and organs are in the astral, not in the physical body. The organs of the physical body are as there's transmitters or translators of the astral, of the realm that surrounds the entire globe to about 40 miles. The astral atmosphere surrounds the Earth, and it extends to about 40 miles. So along with insight or inner seeing comes inner hearing, and this is expressed in the voice of the silence. When he has ceased to hear the many, he may discern the one, the inner sound, which kills the outer. Then, and not till then, shall he forsake the region of Asat, Asat being the false, to come into the realm of Sat, the true. Before the soul can hear, the image man has to become as deaf to roarings as to whispers, to cries of bellowing elephants as to the silvery buzzing of the golden firefly. So the voice of the silence and Light on the Path, the Bhagavad Gita, these are all devotional works which are help us to see through the Maya, which is the magical power that creation puts a Maya or a magical power, which is an illusion, as it were, but it's a necessary illusion for us to work through and to rise above and beyond. Because remember, we have quite an heirloom, quite a legacy of misuse of our powers that we have to transcend. So, with that, we'll turn it over to the chair.
So we must come to the realization that we do not have a soul, but we are soul. And that this unfoldment from within outward is colored by the ideas that we hold. So if anyone has any questions or comments they would like to make, because part of this endeavor is to get us to think, to try to uncover these soul qualities. You know, we are human, and we know that because we are able to reflect. And what is reflecting? It's the mind turning within and perceiving our true nature. So that's why we are asked to meditate, to find that calm, that peace, the presence of the soul, that it is always there, but we are just so busy in our daily lives that we can't perceive it. The very fact that we are able to reflect and to look at ourselves detached as a soul. The soul has no personality. It's an individual power that we express through the ideas that we hold to be true. That this intuitive understanding of our latent potential is what Theosophy endeavors to show us, that we stand here at the crossroads in our karmic nature. We are making choices. Are we making choices for the higher or for the lower, or the more material or the more spiritual? We are evolving into higher states of consciousness, so that Theosophy gives us a framework in which we can realize our full potential. And what is that full potential? That we are compassionate human beings, that we do not live for ourselves, but we live for others. That this journey is not about us. It's about our connection with all of life, because all of life has a soul. All of life has a latent potential to become self-conscious. And in the evolutionary stream, we see from the lowest to the highest. So that's why, as Theosophists, we see all of life as conscious. This whole universe is conscious. We are self-conscious, and all of life is moving in that direction. So this latent potential is found even in the smallest molecule, even in the smallest thing. It is all moving in the same direction. It's moving forward, moving, expanding out. And that is what our consciousness is doing. And we do that through experience. As our experience grows, so does our understanding. So does our moral code. The more we identify with life, all of life, the more we become more ethical in our treatment of life. So how do we develop that potential? Can we? We most certainly can. By trying to find what is best for the all, not just for us in particular. We live a life for others. We don't live it for ourselves, our own satisfaction. It's called sacrifice. And as a human being, we know what sacrifice is. As a parent, we know what sacrifice is. But we always sacrifice the dearer for the better. We're always given a choice. And that choice, we have to expand our consciousness from this little self-centered viewpoint we have. And we must move it toward a wider expression of that self. So we have to become impersonal and our view of life, that we are not, you know, this personality. We're not this selfishness that wells up within us as a means of survival. We learn to become unselfish. And through time, that unselfishness manifests as selflessness. And can we imagine what selflessness is? Well, we have examples. We have examples of great beings, Buddha, Jesus, Zoroaster, Plato, Pythagoras, all beings that have showed a tremendous understanding of mankind and of our true nature. We cannot live for ourselves. That is probably the hardest lesson that we all have to learn. That we are not alone and we are not separate from each other. This latent potential of the soul is a expression of that unity. We are a unity. We just refuse to see it. And there lies all of our difficulties, all of our sorrows, all of our unhappiness. We go through life with others. Our karma is with others. And it is our duty to discover what our duty is. So, your duty now is to think of a question, to come out of your shell.
And, you have two hands raised, by the way.
Okay, we forgot to look at the yellow signs. All right, let's begin, SL.
In listening to the comments already made, becomes clearer that when we speak of latent capacities within the human soul, it doesn't mean that they're absent. We already have them expressed, all of these qualities mentioned, but maybe in a smaller degree. And so we were wondering, maybe it's just a matter of using what we already have, exercising, you know, taking inventory of our good qualities and making an attempt to continue nurture and exercising those and be patient that they'll grow in time.
Yeah, we are told that we always need to begin where we are. And we need to assess those qualities within
Why
us.
Isn't it turnip?
We need to assess those qualities within us that make us a better human being. We all know how to love, but what is that love? Personal? We all can identify with that. But we know what an impersonal love is? That is the love of humanity. And we have that within us. So we take an inventory of our qualities, good, bad, and indifferent, and we try to expand upon those which are good. And that which lead to a fulfillment of our life. Theosophy Hall, there's a question.
Early on in the first talk, the statement was made that it's as though mind was planted like a seed, and the seed contains the tree, and that seed needs nurturing. So there's an unfolding of the potential of the human soul. Okay. Well, if it's the soul that has to unfold, who does the nurturing? Is it the personality that does the nurturing? Or is, what part of us is doing the nurturing of the soul?
Well, we find that the personality is necessary. It leads us to that which is impersonal. And we nurture the soul, you know, by living an ethical life, by turning our desires from our lower nature to our higher nature, to want to be a co-worker with nature. We want to bring ourselves up to a more ethical understanding of life, you know, that we are not separate and that what we do affects everyone. You know, we are told that our thoughts, words, and deeds have an effect. They are all actions. So this is, in fact, what brings forth that latent soul powers. You know, our searching for the truth. You're not going to find it if you don't look for it. And you can't be, and all of us are here because we're dissatisfied with what we have known in the past. It hasn't brought us any peace and solace. You know, the fact that we come to consider what God is, you know, is that something outside of us? It's something that, you know, we have to worship? No, theosophy teaches God lies within. The heart is the pulse of the universe. That we need to follow the heart, but the heart has to be untangled from our lower desires. And we have to implement those higher desires. And what are they? To live a righteous life. To be compassionate with our neighbor, to be patient with our neighbor, to be patient with ourselves. These are all latent powers within us. You know, that we are told that intuition is a soul power, but how do you develop intuition? By using it. By trusting it, by those moments when you get these insights and you say to yourself, wow, if I could only do that, well, you can, if one chooses to. But we stand back because we don't have the courage. But once we begin to use it, our courage becomes stronger. JB, you have a question.
There's also a chat.
Okay, we'll get that after JB.
Yes. It was said earlier that some of the earlier races of humanity had more active qualities of the soul, more divine consciousness. If we're evolving forward, why is it that we haven't more ability, you know, if we're growing upon what they had? Why are we more limited? Why is there a certain course or cycle of abilities as they come and go through humanity? Why is it that the earlier races may have been able to access these potentialities and we're struggling to realize them?
Well, we're struggling to re-become. We have to remember that we are spiritual beings. We haven't, you know, our evolution hasn't started in matter. our evolution began in spirit. And as spiritual beings, we decided to plunge into matter, to become involved with it, to bring it forward, to raise its consciousness. That is our duty, to raise all of life to higher states of consciousness. So in this involutionary process, we have descended into matter, and we have forgotten our spiritual roots. And it's said that now, in the fourth round, if we use our sense of analogy, is the most material, where desire or kama is predominant, and where it is now beginning to raise up or evolve, because we have reached the deepest or the lowest point of the evolutionary process. In the middle of the fourth round, we begin to turn upward. And that's what we're doing now. We're turning upward, and we're rediscovering our full potential. And that full potential is something, as was said, is inherent within us. We have only lost it because we have identified with matter and thinking that is what we are. But all of us here know that that's not true. We're more than that. We're more than these bodies. We're more than these ideas or the situations in life. We have the potential to be great. We stand at that road of mediumship or adeptship. We must choose. To be a medium, you become passive and you accept whatever comes to you. Adeptship means that we become an individual force through our decisions, through our choices, to move forward and upward, not to be buried in the past of darkness, of war and conflict and hatred and separateness and bigotry. All these are things of ignorance. And we're moving out of that ignorance into the light. Theosophy is that light. It's one of the avenues that the elder brothers, the adepts, have kept open for humanity, for their salvation, for those who want to know the truth and want to travel or tread that path. It may be a path of hardship and difficulty, but nothing worth having is ever easy. So it's a decision that we have to make by ourselves, within ourselves. We have to realize our true nature. We are immortal. We are those spiritual beings who have descended into matter. And we're reascending back into spirit. We're regaining our spiritual balance. So, you know, we've forgotten all this, but it's there. And through study, through self-knowledge, this is all can be regained. You know, that by living an ethical life, by gaining self-knowledge, and by helping others in whatever way you can imagine. You may not think a smile, a kind word, doesn't take much of an effort. But people are starving for it. They're starving for kindness, but not kindness that makes them dependent upon you, but a kindness that opens up that field of understanding that accesses our true potential. Theosophy Hall.
That last question, which had to do with, well, if in earlier races it seemed that we had more powers unfolded within us, why is it that it's less so now? And yes, so part of the whole, we're thinking part of the whole process of evolution is that we evolve different principles of the human being, evolve in different ways during different periods. And during this period in particular, which we are in the fifth race, this humanity's in the fifth race, it's a time of the evolution of mind. And HPB warns us that during this period, the evolution of mind can result, if we allow it to, in the intellectual overriding the spiritual. And that's the challenge. If we've in the West, we've let the intellectual outgrow the spiritual and therefore and be distracted by the outer world. And so we've lost sight and lost use of the powers within us that we had access to prior.
Yes. And we're reminded, you know, that we may walk alone in this world, but there have been signposts left along the way for us to reignite that fire within us. We have the voice of the silence that shows that our compassionate nature or compassion is the road to salvation. We have the Bhagavad Gita. It shows us how to live in this Kali Yuga, in this age of darkness, to become a spiritual light to the world. So yes, we are in this fourth round, but it's the seventh, or the, I mean the fifth sub-race of the fifth root race in the fourth round, where karma is being developed to its highest potential, not its lowest.
There's a chat.
Yes. Do we have the potential to be like Christ to the extent that we can heal the sick and walk on water? Well, yes, we have that potential. We are all Christ-like in our nature. That Christos is another name for that light that shines within us. That we all are Christos. We all have that light shining within us. That is our God within. And we can only access it through study, to living an ethical life, and by being of service to others. We can't find it by turning our backs on our brother and sisters. We have to forge ahead and with courage take upon each day and try to be, as was said, live a theosophical life. And what is that theosophical life? That's to be determined by each of us, how we react, how we act. And do we see on the screen 12 different people, 12 different images? Are we not connected? Are we separate? That is the great illusion. We are not separate. It said about Bodhi, the storehouse of knowledge. But we all have a Bodhi nature. That is our unifying aspect, our Bodhi nature, our love, our compassion for each other. SL?
Go back to the chat. To be like Christ, well, that title, Christ, is a designation like Buddha. So when we read Thou art Buddha, we could also say Thou art Christ. It really refers to our self-conscious unity with that highest principle, Atma, that was mentioned, and making it a power in our lives. So to be like Christ is far beyond the mere physical phenomena of healing physical sickness or levitating or so forth. There's a lot more involved there in terms of our true spiritual powers, as opposed to mere physical or even psychic ones.
How do you heal the sick? Well, the right ideas will heal the sick. You know, that the idea that we are immortal in our nature, that we're all connected, that we're all on a journey to higher states of consciousness, but they're all gained through experience. And that, you know, healing the sick and walking on water, you know, they're just phenomenon. But the ability to do that it comes through knowledge, self-knowledge. It's of loving deeds the child. So another question is, what makes hatha yoga exercises so dangerous? Well, you know, hatha yoga deals with pranayama, or the breath. And in pranayama, you know, it's the cessation of breath, which Mr. Judge calls death. That hatha yoga does develop our psychic nature. But this isn't the right time for us to develop that. There are too many dangers that are involved with our psychic nature at this time because of where we are on the evolutionary scale. We're developing that karma principle. Until it's developed to its highest nature, by developing our psychic nature, we put ourselves in danger. Because we have no idea of how to participate in that psychic realm. Everything is upside down. We don't know what we see, what is true, what is false. And we are told that if we want to enter that psychic realm, do it from above. Do it from your higher nature. To discover your psychic nature, don't do it from below above. There is great danger, and hatha yoga does that from below above. So we're asked to refrain from trying to discover the powers that are latent within us by physical practice. You know, there's Tai Chi, there's all kinds of physical practices that will develop our psychic nature. But we don't need to develop that right now. We need to develop our ethical and moral nature. We need to become workers with humanity. We don't need to set ourselves up and to be separate. What are we going to do with these psychic powers? What? Make more money? Get more material things? Dazzle our friends? So we need to use what powers we have now to be a benefit to humanity. And Hatha Yoga is not the avenue which we need to pursue. SL?
Yes. Before it was mentioned that in this period of evolution with the development of the mind, there are certain risks. The intellect can override the spiritual. But in light of what was just said about the psychic, we're also in a time of our evolutionary period of development where the psychic is naturally unfolding anyway. And we've certainly seen in the last century and moving into our current century, tremendous development in this area and interest in exploring, researching it, maybe developing it. So at this point, since it's developing, our real challenge is not to let it overtake us in that direction either,
All right.
to balance it out with our spiritual nature.
Yes, that's why spiritual knowledge is necessary. We have to become aware of what our real nature is, and that these powers will unfold naturally within us and within humanity in general. So we need not pursue this path of development. We need to develop our ethical and moral nature again. Because what the world needs now is understanding. And it needs the truth to set it free. Not everyone wants to hear the truth because the truth will set you free. And many of us have been bound down by the chains of our ideas for centuries. And that these ideas that are presented by theosophy will set us free to think beyond that realm of the material world. Now, we are told that in meditation, develop that abstract thought. Expand the mind. This is all part of our latent potential as a soul. So we hope you found these ideas helpful, if not stimulating. And our only hope is that you will turn within and that you will look for the answers yourself. Theosophy will show you the way, but you have to do the work. You have to put in the effort. You have to sacrifice your time to what is most important in your life, and that is the unfoldment of your spiritual nature. We are soul. We don't have a soul. May your week bring you much snow, but little rain. So enjoy your week, and we hope to see you on Wednesday. Bye.